What a great spirit, I'm telling you. That is just great. I'm excited about what's about to happen, and I hope, Gorman, sit down. I hope that you are as excited as I am about the kinds of things that are going to happen. Now, I want us to be informal, but not quite that informal. Would you listen to me when I talk, okay? And I promise to listen when you've got something to say. How does that sound, okay? We're headed in a new direction, and we tried to say that this morning whenever we say it. You know what our problem is? Faith. I believe that with all of our heart. You finish this verse, this is the victory that overcomes. Even what? Even our faith. Where is it found? Shame on you. Shame on you. You can quote a verse, you don't know where it is in the Bible. I cannot believe that a verse that is that important, that you're trying to counsel somebody and they're saying, well, I'm really having these problems, and you don't know where that verse is? Shame on you. I cannot believe that. Folks, I think that just highlights, doesn't it? Gorman, you cannot answer this. Do you know where Jesus wept is found in the Bible? Yes or no? Do you know?
Yes.
Okay. Gorman, where is it found? He has no idea, all right? I try to make Gorman look good, you know. He knows it's John. It's in John where? No, not 3:16. I'm sorry. Forget Gorman. He may not be a part of this. Gorman may get to heaven on the baby ticket. Anyway, but here's what we're trying to, and we're dead serious about this. There's not one of us in this auditorium tonight who doesn't need greater faith. Now, where's faith comes from? You know this one. Faith comes from where? Hearing, and hearing where? Where's that found?
Romans.
All right, we got that far. What? Have you got it written down there? Okay, all right, okay. Romans 10:17. Now, isn't that important for us to know that? But we don't know it. If I ask you, what is the book in the Bible after Hosea? Do you know? All right, what is the book before Hosea? I don't have a clue. Isn't that shameful that we don't know the Bible? If I ask you in the Bible where the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Somebody said Ephesians, and I heard it back over here. What? Isn't that great? That you know that. But isn't that important? In counseling yourself, don't you need to know where that is in the Bible so we can look it up? And we don't know the Bible. What?
Daniel's before.
Thank you. And I want you to know, she started at Genesis and went all the way through, but she didn't look up the answer. She got it in her head. And I hope that's right. Anyway, but you understand, we as the people of God have got to increase our faith. And that's what we're trying to talk about this morning. You're going to have problems. You're going to have problems this year. Your kids are going to have problems. Aren't you? You're going to have problems with your parents. Amen. Okay. But you understand what I'm saying. What are you going to do? I've got to have faith. Why don't I have more faith? If faith comes from hearing the Word of God, where does greater faith come? Isn't that amazing? We think Romans 10:17 is the verse that comes before believing. You know, hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. We think Romans 10:17 fits right over here on hearing, then before believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. We need to understand that's talking about us and it's talking about our life in relationship to these things. And so there is really an importance of us increasing our faith. Now, life is made up of battles. And in this in life, there's one figure that's used again and again, and that is the military figure. Think about we sing the song, Soldiers of Christ Arise. Anybody know where soldiers are mentioned in the Bible? They're talking about Christians as soldiers. Anybody know? If I say the Christian armor, Is that somewhere? Hush up. Is that somewhere in the Bible? Somebody on the right side over here, tell me where in the Bible you read about the Christian armor. What? Ephesians 6, all right, that's great. I'm glad at least two people know that. And other, you said, is that, you agree with it? It's Ephesians. I'm glad Gorman agrees with that, okay? And so there are all of these figures in the Bible that have to do with us being soldiers. And that's going to be the theme of the direction, sort of well, we'll talk a lot more about that in just a few minutes. But as you begin thinking about it, think about the sword that we use. What is the sword? Where is that in the Bible? Oh, okay. If you know the Christian armor is in Ephesians 6, and the Bible talks about the sword that Christians ought to have, guess where that's in the Bible? You don't have to guess. You can ask Gorman. Where is it found? Ephesians 6, all right? And so what we've got to do is to take the sword, and that's what's going to happen on these Sunday nights. For much of this year, we're going to sharpen the sword. And you're going to know some things about the Bible. There's not a person in here that's not going to have a renewed appreciation. David and I have been studying the Bible, and in preparing all of this, I am overwhelmed and amazed at how dumb I have been in studying the Bible. I've learned so much in just trying to get all of this together. You'll be amazed that what you're going to learn. It's sort of like over at Renova today, and I was telling the story in the Bible, what was that all about Moses' face shining. And Gorman, I'm not surprised at your response. You remember what you said? Is that a true story? It is. But I'll tell you, Gorman, having heard that lesson about Moses' face shining, his heart's different. Because the sword got sharpened. And that's what we're going to do. You know, we, as the people of God, we've got to sharpen our sword. And then we've got to equip ourselves. That's a biblical word, talking about, you know, being equipped, ready for every good work. In the army, we need to equip ourselves, and then the ultimate place, and I think that's already on the screen. I bet you can guess what that one is. We're marching in what direction? We're marching to heaven. And so what we're going to try to do on these Sunday nights is to have an interactive kind of response, just like we're having right now, but far, far more than what we're having right now. And, you know, if you've been to a pew packers class with the little kids, I envision this being somewhat like a pew packers class, so that I'll not embarrass you and you don't have to give me a high five if you get the right answer in relationship to it. But I want us, as a result of us spending these Sunday nights together this year, to come out of this knowing the Bible. And I really, really mean that, because we're going to heaven. And we're marching on the road to heaven, and that's where we're trying to go. Now, in order to do that, we need to understand that in order to increase our faith, what have I done, David? I've gone to the wrong one? No. Which we're a soldier. Increasing our faith and knowledge needs to be done in four areas. Four areas that needs to be done. Let me mention these and you stop and think about it. Are there some key facts about the Bible that you need to know? These Bible stories. If I talk about how many doors in the ark, how many windows in the ark, and who built the ark, yeah, how tall was Goliath? Anybody know how tall Goliath was? Huh? Exactly. Biblically, how tall was he? Six cubits and a span. How big is that? How big is that compared to this exit sign over there? Is it taller than that exit sign? You know, if you don't know what is a cubit? All cubits all the way through the Bible. What's a cubit?
18 inches.
18 inches. And how do you measure it?
Ruler.
Ruler, okay. If you didn't have a ruler, Gorman, how would you measure it? Well, here it is. Isn't that sort of important? You read about how big the holy place was, or the most holy place was. How big was it? Is it important to know those facts? Yeah. You know, if I talk about the miracles that Jesus did, you need to tell me about how long that woman had that issue of blood. You need to be able to tell me how long that man had been crippled. Why? It's just a fact, but it's those facts that make these stories come alive. They really, really make these facts come alive. And so there are Bible facts that we need to know. And then there are Bible chapters that we need to know. There's some really, really important. If I ask you the central chapter in the Bible, what would you say? I didn't say the middle chapter, but the pivotal chapter in all of the Bible. Everything before that chapter looks to that chapter, and after that chapter, everything looks back is that. Acts, you know the name of the chapter? Acts chapter 2. Man, you're good. Okay. And so, but you need to know that. And that was what? What was that day called? Pentecost. And do you know the other feast, Jewish feast days? Why don't you know that? Novell, why? Why does Mary know that? Haven't you taught her? She's taught you a lot of things in your life, I guarantee you. Okay? But you understand. And what's the Feast of Tabernacles all about? Oh, it's just a Bible fact. Oh, no. It's not a Bible fact. It's a fact that it's in the Bible. But we need to know about those Jewish feast days, don't we? Don't we need to know? You know, and you're down here and you're teaching your own children, or you're teaching in the Sunday school program. I believe you're going to be amazed at what's going to happen. And then there are some Bible chapters that we need to know where they are. Key Bible chapters. If I ask you, and think real carefully before you ask this, if I ask you in what chapter in the Bible would I read the 23rd Psalm? Would that be important? Would that be important for you to be able to answer that? Yes, there are some key Bible chapters that are important, aren't there? If I talk about the birthday of the church, where the church started, yeah. What about the chapter where the Lord's Supper is instituted? And every man here knows it who's ever presided at the table, or wishes he knew it before he got up there. And you know, and if I talk about where do I read about Cain and Abel and their sacrifice? Is that an important chapter? What about Nadab and Abihu? And somebody said, Nadab and who? Who's that? Well, is that one of those Bible chapters? It would really be good if I knew what chapter that is. By the way, where do you read about Nadab and Abihu?
Leviticus 10.
Is that right, Gorman? Leviticus 10. All right, thank you. At the mouth of two or three witnesses, as long as he goes second, every word can be established. And then there are some key Bible locations, not just chapters, but verses. You may not need to know the memory, you may not need to know how to quote that verse, but you sort of need to know where that is located in the Bible. And what we have tried to do is to analyze what do we need to know about the Bible, and then are there not, as painful as it may be, are there not some Bible memory verses that every one of us needs to know? It doesn't do a whole lot of good to say somewhere in the Bible, the Bible says, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's no good. Your sword is not sharp. I am so glad you know that's in the Bible. You know, I am really, really glad you know where that's in the Bible. But we need to know some key memory verses. And so part of what we're going to do this year on Sunday night, we're going to memorize some verses. Now, it's going to take some effort before you ever get here. It's going to take you doing some things in your home and spending some time and all the rest and doing that. And so we got Bible facts, Bible chapters, and Bible locations and key memory verses. Now then, how are we going to do this? Well, one thing that will help us in doing that is a schedule of reading through the Bible. We have the Bible reading card, yes. What we want to do as sort of as a congregation this year is this reading through the Bible, but we're not going to read all the way through the Bible. You can still do that. I'm not discouraging that. But as a congregation, between now and the end of this year, we want to have read and have a real understanding of Genesis through Esther. That's not all. For example, the week of January the 4th, I need to read 9 chapters. Think you'd read 9 chapters this week? Yeah, I believe I've got time to read 9 chapters. Well, and so that I won't just be calling words, what about having a study guide? That as I read those 9 chapters, there are questions that I can answer that will help me become a Bible student. In other words, here's one. What was God's evaluation after each of the first 5 days of creation? What about after day 6? Not very good. After day 6.
Day 2, God did not say it was good.
Okay. We'll check that one out, okay? And you may be right about that, almost after every chapter, every one of the days of creation. You understand what I'm saying? Here's a study guide. And so you read through, I read through those nine chapters of the book of Genesis, and so I've got this study guide that will take us through every book of the Bible. And so this study guide that's out there, and you're welcome to take it home tonight. In fact, we urge you to take it home tonight, is so you can start your Bible reading. And so we're going to be talking about these things. What we talk about on Sunday nights may not be parallel with where you are in your home Bible study. Because sometimes we'll have to slow down, spend more time in this part of the Bible, and go faster in some other parts of the Bible. But you know what's going to happen when you're studying the Bible? You know what's going to happen whenever you fill out these questions?
Faith.
I think you... What?
Faith.
Thank you very much. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Isn't that amazing? And so really, that's a part of this. David, have anything else I need to say about this?
We ran out. They took all of them, but there are more printing right now.
Shame on you. I cannot believe that you would take the... Who took the last one out there? Shame on you. My mama would be so upset if you take that last piece of pie. I always did it. And my mom was always ashamed. But I got the pie. No, we're printing some more tonight. So as you leave tonight, are they all printed? Hold up your hands if you didn't get one. Okay. We may need even more than that, David. Okay. Tell you what, they're printing. Okay. Just when, as Mike comes by, just raise up your hand and slap him real good to get his attention, and he'll give you the study guide. That's just for you to put down. That is just for you to have. But we're going through all of the Bible. This year you will have a study guide all the way through the book of Esther, and every week there will be questions for you to answer, and David's prepared all of these questions in such an outstanding way. And so you can just go through and study the Bible in relationship to that. Anything else needs to be said about that? Okay, how are we going to do this? What are the plans that we have? What's going to happen here on Sunday nights? You know, we've sort of given the outline. What's going to happen on Sunday night? Well, what's going to happen is that we are going to become soldiers of Christ. That is imagery that is found in the Bible again and again. That imagery is found in the Bible. And so you talk about take on the Christian armor. By the way, where's that Christian armor found in the Bible? Oh, you're learning it, are you? Ephesians chapter 6. You got that? Yes, okay, and there's the warfare in the book of Revelation, our Monday night prize student says, and you're absolutely right about that. That imagery is found throughout the Bible. And so, as the people of God, we have got to become soldiers of Jesus. Now, if you are a soldier, what evidence do you have that you are a soldier of Jesus? Well, what evidence do you have that you're a soldier in the U.S. Army? Can you believe I've lost it? Huh? Just not yet. All right, he says, I'm not allowed to show you where it is. Hang on a minute. I've got to look in my pocket right here to see if... Nope. Yep, there it is. You're not allowed to look at it. There's the evidence of it, okay? But I'll have to talk about that in just a minute. Soldiers of Christ on Sunday night. That's what we want to become. Now, what we want to do on Sunday nights, as soldiers of Christ, we want to learn key facts. We want to learn key chapters, key locations, and memory verses. How's that going to happen? Well, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But we're going to use that by going through the Bible in an informal kind of setting like we're assembled here tonight. Now, I wasn't kidding, by the way, about next Sunday night, we're not going to sit in this section. Next Sunday night, all of you who didn't have to move, next Sunday night, we'll probably move over into that section or to some other section, and we're just going to move all over the building. And that's because it's not fair to ask those folks who always sit in the center section on the back to have to move. We always do it. So we're going to ask the folks who sit in the center section up the front to move back over into that section. Now then, what we need to do in relationship to that is to have a realization that not everybody is on the same level of studying the Bible. You know, here's Gorman, been in the church, 2 years? April the 15th, you were baptized a year and a half ago or something like that, coming up on 2 years this April, if I'm not mistaken. And he came 6 months before that, so I want you to know, this brilliant Bible scholar that's over here, how much did you know about the Bible, Gorman, 3 years ago?
I could spell it.
He could spell Bible, all right. And the first thing you learned on Monday night is where the book of Revelation is. Where is it?
That's right next to maps.
Revelation is right next to maps. So that's one level we have in this church, okay? That's one level we have of Bible knowledge. And then they're here are these smaller children. You know, where are they? And then there are those of you who've been real active in the church. You've grown up in a Christian home, or you've been an elder or a deacon in the church, or you spent a lot of time studying the Bible. Your level of Bible knowledge is going to be different from the level of other individuals. How on earth are we going to teach, how on earth are we going to teach Harrison the Bible and teach his mother the Bible at the same time? Are you smarter than your mother? Then maybe you can help her learn these Bible stories, will you? All right, that's good. But you understand, what we want to do is to put in Holly's hands and in the hands of every parent, even the parents of teens, the tools to put faith right here in this heart and in this heart. That's what we're trying to do on Sunday night. We're not trying to learn Bible facts. But we understand that this knowledge comes from the stories about these Bibles, about these stories that are found in the Bible. But we're all at different levels. And so we have taken this military theme and we have developed a manual that every soldier needs to have. It's our field manual. And every person here will have their manual, field manual, to learn the Bible. Now stay with me. On the front page is the symbol that we're going to use, soldiers of Christ, and you've already seen it up on the screen. And the front page says, it's for sharpening swords, equipping to serve, and marching to heaven. When you open up your field manual, the first page that you have here is this Bible reading schedule. So that, you know, if you get behind and all of a sudden, you know, it's February the 22nd, well, where am I supposed to be? I've got to read several chapters. And then, after that, becomes the levels of studies. And so, in the levels of studies that you have, there are three cards: elementary level, secondary level, and scholar level. That's not the terminology we're going to use. We have taken a biblical concept and we have called the three levels of learning the Bible: prophet, priest, and king. And so where does it all start? Well, here's Harrison over here. And Harrison needs to learn the Bible. But Holly needs to know more about the Bible. And so here is that first level. And if you'll open up to just where you've got the beige card at the top. Is it beige? Where you've got the beige card at the top, the tan card at the top, and right below it. Okay. Wait just a minute. Everybody get their field manual, okay? Daniel, you haven't lost your field manual already, have you? All right. Okay. Somebody took it. They wouldn't share their field manual. I love that devotion to being in the Army. Okay. Field manual's up here, all right, and what, okay. All right, you got your field manual? Not yet, okay. Who doesn't have one? Raise your hand. Oh, back in the back, okay. Harrison raised his hand. He doesn't have one, okay. Maybe I should get one for Harrison, you think? Yeah, Harrison thinks he needs one. We'll work on that one, all right? We will work on that one. Here's the design of the study. We will begin with an overview of the Bible, and it's likely that you already know the answers to every one of these facts that's found here. I wouldn't be surprised if with the exception of the king level, which is the third level, that says, name the books of the Bible, that almost every one of us in here will be able, on this first level, to answer every question that's there. Now, do not think that every study is going to be this easy. I promise you, the studies are not going to be this easy. But you got to start somewhere. And so we wanted to start with the most elementary kind of things, there is. For example, in how many languages was the Bible written? Okay, the easier answer is, and we've got it that way for Harrison's sake, how many languages was the Bible written in? Two, Old Testament in Hebrew, the New Testament in Greek. Now, there is obviously certain sections of the Old Testament, very minute compared to the totality of the Old Testament. Some of them's written in Aramaic, which is a corrupted kind of Hebrew, if that's a good way of saying it. So we're not totally inaccurate if we say there are two languages written in Hebrew and Greek. And we understand that, but we also understand that Harrison would never learn the word Aramaic. I mean, he might. Holly would have trouble learning the word Aramaic. You understand what I'm saying? So what we've tried to do is to get this so that we are equipped to go out and to learn these things. So what you have here, so that you understand it, is the prophet levels. Everybody have a manual down? The prophet level. And so you've got all of the questions on the prophet level. The second level here is the priest level. And we did this just simply in this order, not because a prophet is better than a priest or a priest is better than the king, but because oftentimes in studying the Bible we talk about prophet, priest, and king. And we tried to come up with some other words, but this is the best that we could come up with, and I think it fits the purpose. Now, you will be able in this level to learn the priest. You look at the questions that are there. The three sentence summary of the Bible. It won't take you long to learn in that priestly level that someone is coming, someone is here, and someone is coming again. I mean, you know that, just have never heard the question there. But if I ask in one word, what is the Bible all about? Well, Harrison could say, in one word, the Bible is all about Jesus. Well, what's it about Jesus? And Harrison could learn, someone is coming, someone is here. You got the first one? Someone is doing what? Someone's coming, right? You want to say that? Someone is what? Someone is coming, and then someone is here.
Here.
Someone is here, and someone is coming again.
Someone's coming again.
All right. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Harrison, you did so good. You want to talk over the microphone again sometime? Keep listening. I might give you another chance, okay? All right. Thank you. You're welcome. All right. Isn't that easy? You know what just happened? 4 years of age, is he about four? 4 years of age. And he knows more in that one sentence about the Bible than 75% of the people in Palm Beach County. Is his sword getting sharpened? Is he being equipped for service? Yeah. Now, if you don't know that, you need to know it. You need to know in one sentence the story of the Old Testament. In one sentence is, someone's coming. What's the New Testament about? That someone that's coming, he's here, and he's coming again. You need to know that. You need to know the major divisions in the Bible. How many books in the Bible, Gorman?
66.
How many books in the Old Testament?
39.
How many is in the New Testament?
27.
3 years ago, you didn't have a clue about that. I don't even know if you could spell Bible, come to think of it. But you understand what I'm talking about? Do you understand just that fundamental understanding of when I open up the Bible, there's an Old Testament and a New Testament? How important that is? And so you've got that question. Well, you know, the three ages of the Bible. You know, how long did the age of Moses last? How many years? Don't you think it would be good to know how long the patriarchs were from the time of Adam all the way up to the time of Moses? Would that be a good number to have in your head? Yeah. Do you have it there? Not yet. But I'm going to get it there. And what about the Mosaical age? You know, when did Moses, how many years B.C.? How many years before Christ? How long's the Mosaic? You see, that's the kind of information that is on this card. When did the Old Testament end and the New Testament begin? Well, it's easy to say the Old Testament ends at Malachi. Well, that's the last book in the Old Testament, but Jesus lived and was involved in animal sacrifices and things of that nature. Jesus lived in the time of the Old Testament. And so what's that focal point whenever that Old Testament stops being the law that everybody's living by and the New Testament becomes the law everybody lives by? What's the focal point? If you don't know that, your sword needs to be sharpened, guys. And if you're going to be in the kingly level, you're going to go up to that third level, then wouldn't be bad at all if you knew where that's found in the Bible, would it? Talking about key memory verses. And when we get over there and we're studying the epistles of Paul, do you not think that we'll put those verses over there so that whenever we're over there studying, and I'd say, when's the Old Testament end? And you'll know the verses that are here, Colossians 2:14 and Hebrews 9, 16 and 17. You'll know that. But you need to know it. Because you're going to be in a discussion with somebody and they're going to say, well, Jesus worshipped on the Sabbath day, therefore we ought to worship on the Sabbath day. Well, Jesus was involved in animal sacrifices. And so, you know, you've got this. What about, look over on the last page on the King card, go all the way to the back, and you've got these periods of Bible history. Do you know this layout of the 15 years of periods of Bible history? If I said, where are the kings in relationship to the judges? Well, Harrison might not be able to learn that. Holly, you think you can? I think you can too. But you understand what I'm saying? Wouldn't it be good to know the 15 years of Bible history? And so if I start talking about David and where David fits in the Bible, or if I talk about Joshua, or if I talk about Elijah, or if I talk about Daniel, or if I talk about Isaiah, where does he fit in the Bible? Who lived first? You know, who lived first? Caleb or Jonathan? Which one lived first? Don't you think you need to know that? Yeah. You know, you don't have to answer that on the final test to get into heaven. I've seen the final test, and that's not on the quiz. But it would do you a lot of good if you knew that, wouldn't it? To know where these characters fit in the Bible. And so what we're going to do is we're trying to lay this whole study out in levels. Now what you have is the introductory level, and it's easy. And we're not going to spend 3 months studying these cards. You need to look at them. You need to start working on them. And the easiest way to work on them is sort of probably start with that prophet level. Make sure you know all the prophet questions and then all the priest questions and then get over on the king question. You can learn them together and everything, but make sure you know them, because we're not going to teach anything that we have not given serious thought to as to whether it's necessary and good and wonderful and needful in our lives. Now, David, what have I left out?
Nothing so far.
Nothing so far. Now then, what about recognition? That level. Well, if the program is called Soldiers of Christ, then everybody needs a dog tag. And you'll see the purpose of this a little bit later, because it does relate to Harrison and to Kelly and to Katie. Because we're going to have a time in which the children are going to be rewarded for their learning. And we call that the Medal of Honor Sunday. We're going to do it on a Sunday morning. And on that Sunday, we want everybody to wear their medals. And we're doing it not for any reason other than to help these young people recognize that we're so proud of what they're doing. Now then, when I learn the first introductory level, how's it going to be indicated to me that I've learned the level? Well, you see, this card is white. There is a white dog tag that whenever you successfully learn the answers to that on Medal of Honor Sunday, Harrison, if you know all of the things that are there, you'll not only get a dog tag, but you'll get one of these tags. And so now you've got a dog tag because you get two of them, and then you get to put this one on here. Now then, he comes in not having answered all of the questions, because, you know, he doesn't have to reach the king level. But when you come in, when you reach that first level, then in recognition of reaching that first level, the prophet level, you will get one of these plastic pieces that go around your dog tag. And so if Harrison reaches the prophet level, if Katie reaches the prophet level, she'll not only have her dog tag, but on Medal of Honor Sunday, she'll be given for her white dog tag a red, they call silencer, to put around the outside. But it's possible, isn't it, that Kelly could learn not just the prophet level, but could get up to the next level. And so if she gets up to the next level, after she has gotten the red level for being a prophet, she reaches the next level, she takes off that red symbol that's on her overview, and she puts a blue silencer around it, which says, I know the prophet, or I know the overview of the Bible, but I know it, and I know it up to the second level. And then, if she really, really studies, she might be able to get up to the third level. And so, she gets to take off the blue and put on the real, very special silencer. Kings wear purple, do they not? And so, she will have a purple silencer. Now, she doesn't have to do this in 2 weeks. It may take her, even after we finish and we're studying something else, she may keep studying this, and she says, I think I know the prophet level. Well, how is she going to let us know that she knows the prophet level? Here's the way. She finds her an elder. And she says, Uncle Greg, I am ready. I am ready to say the prophet. I want to say the prophet levels on the introduction. So Greg's got his field manual, and Greg quizzes her, and whenever she says, "I know the profit level," he gives her a certificate, and on Medal of Honor Sunday, she will be given her purple ribbon, purple silencer, that will say, "I have reached the king level." Now then, when we finish this overview, and it's not going to take us long to go through this. You already know it. But we thought we'd start with something that's easy, so you get the concept. We then start in the book of Genesis. Now the color for the books of Moses, all of the books of David, the color for the books of Moses is what? Yes, I'll mention that in a minute. The color for the book of Moses is right here. So as she's studying the books of Moses, here are the questions in the book of Genesis. And this one card, to give you some idea, this one card is not all three levels. It's the first level. And so, for Katie and Kelly and those of that age group to be able to get the blue tag, they'll have to be able, how many facts on this? 60 Bible facts to learn this. In addition to that, there are key chapters, and there are key locations, and there are key memory verses. That is the entry level. Now, you already probably can answer just every one of these because you know Genesis. For example, cities destroyed by fire and brimstone. You know where that is? Yeah. What about sacrificed in Isaac's place when Abraham was ready to offer sacrifice? Who are the twin sons of Isaac and Rebekah, the twins in the Bible? We already know that. And so whenever we're talking about learning 60 Bible facts, it's not 60 new facts. You know, they will already know so many of these. Now here's the rub. Those of you who've been in the church all this time, if you stop with this level, you've missed what this Sunday night is all about. We have the second level for those of you who've been in the church 10 years, 15 years. And the challenge is for you, well, to go ahead and to earn this, and by the way, and to get your blue tag. Now, I don't see how 200 of us can go to the elders and get the tags from the elders. We're still working on how that's going to happen. But on Medal of Honor Sunday, you'll be able to walk and you'll have not only this, you'll have your blue tag that says Genesis on it. But if I get to the prophet level, the prophet color is red, so the silencer around my blue tag will be red. But if I get up to that next level, and that's the motivation. The motivation is to not stop at the red level and just stay on the simple entry level, but to go up to the next level. And that's the priest level. And so you take the red silencer off and you put the blue, which is the color that was the priest often wore. You'll get the blue silencer that goes around that. And then for those of you who think you know the Bible, we challenge you to go all the way to the next level, to the kingly level. You know the results of this? Joe said it. You know the results? You know what's going to happen? Faith. Faith is what's going to happen. Do you know what can happen in this church this year? You know how much more faith we can have? Think about, Diane, where your faith was when your mom died. I don't know how you would have made it. Hadn't had God. Vera, you've been a widow for 20 years? 30 years? Think of how difficult it is. Think of the importance of faith. He was a soldier. But see, here's what we're talking. We're not trying, guys, we're not trying to learn Bible facts. We're trying to learn these Bible stories so that the next time Gorman hears somebody about, reads that story in the Bible about Moses' face shining, he learns something of the grandeur and the majesty of God. Because Moses had been in the very presence of God, and when he walked out of the presence of God, his face was shining so brilliant that nobody could look in his eyes. Nobody could look at him. And we'll get to see that God someday. That's faith. And so when we finish Genesis, guess where we're going to go next? Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. And this year, we're going to go through all the way through to the book of Esther. Now here's your challenge. What if I have six of these? Where will my faith be once I learn six of these? So I haven't even talked about how we're going to do it. We're going to do it like you do a pew packers class. I'm going to say, what's the greatest book in the world? The left side gets 1 point. How many books in the Bible?
Six.
One and one over here. All right. How many books in the New Testament? I tricked you. You thought I was going to say how many books in the Old Testament, right? All right. How many major divisions are there in the Old Testament? Old Testament and New Testament. All right. Okay. Let's say the books of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We did good on that. Can you do the minor prophets? Can you do the minor prophets backwards? Huh? You do Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Malachi. You can't do it backwards? Oh. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. It's real easy to do it. I just don't know why, if you can do it frontwards, you can't do it backwards. Here's what we're going to try to do, though, seriously. We're going to try to make Sunday night service exciting. And it's going to be loose. It's not going to be, a lot of times where I get up and I get to preach for 45 minutes. Or I don't ever get to preach that long. I get to preach for 30 minutes and I borrow another 15. How's that sound? And so, you understand what I'm talking about? It's going to be a totally different kind of services. And so we're going to have this kind of competition. We're going to do men against the women. And I really think that I think it would one day be good to have the preschoolers against the elders. Harrison, you think you can beat the elders? I believe so too, okay. But we're going to really try to make it exciting and interesting. David, what have we left out?
You want to talk about that?
No. We'll talk about that. We're not quite finished introducing it. We'll introduce it more next week, okay? Here's your assignment. Take your field manual and learn the marching orders between now and next Sunday. They're found in the white cards that are there. And next Sunday night, folks that are here need to be ready to answer the Bible questions. And I'm not sure whether we start Genesis the next Sunday night or go 2 weeks on these white cards that are there. But the blue cards are already ready. We're ready to get in the book of Genesis. And that's where the fun starts, because you will know, you already know 75% of the answers to those cards. So go ahead and be aware of that. Let me mention one other thing. That is, dog tags and field manuals and a whole bunch of other stuff cost money. So we're probably going to put a way out there if you want to throw in $10 to help pay for your dog tags and everything. These things don't come cheap. But by the way, it has your name on it. This one says, Jenkins Dan, a soldier at PBL Church of Christ. And by the end of this month, or, you know, early in February, every one of you will have your own dog tag. And I want you to understand, you may think, well, I don't like that. You don't overly have to wear it every Sunday night. But Medal of Honor Sunday, we want you to have it. Here's what we hope will happen. When people see what Harrison has learned about the Bible, and there's somebody else that's got their little 4-year-old kid that doesn't know anything about the Bible, what's going to happen? And so when Holly takes these Bible things and she teaches them to Harrison, what's that going to do on Medal of Honor Sunday to some individuals who have small children who don't come on Sunday night? Let me tell you what else is going to happen. When Harrison knows the answers to these Bible questions and Tracy does not, you're talking about motivation of learning the answers. But more importantly, when Kelly knows these answers to these Bible questions and David does not, you're talking about motivation. Any questions? Any questions? David, anything else that needs to be stated? Now, don't worry. What the kinds of money we're talking about is $10 from every person. If you haven't got it, that's all right. We've put some money in the budget. But you start talking about buying dog tags and buying these things that have Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ and all this other stuff and your field manual. So just be aware of that. And so, we'll put a basket out somewhere or some way to so that you can be a part of this and help allay the expense of it. So that's part of what's going to happen. Let's bow for a prayer and then we're dismissed. God, we ask you to help us be good soldiers. Help us, Father, to be able to sharpen our sword, to equip ourselves to serve and then to get out and serve. And help us to march together to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.